Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to Studio G and the Discussions for Women in Leadership. We will continue our focus this week on how the styles and principles of an Omega leader can influence leadership. Here in the studio with us this week, we have Lori Beth Jones, speaker, author of 14 books, and the book leading our discussion today, Jesus CEO. Welcome, Lori Beth.
Thank you very much.
And congratulations is in order to you, Lori Beth, this evening, as we've just gotten word. It hasn't gone out into the press releases yet, but yeah, the new book by George Barna has recently been released on the 25 top most influential leaders in the nation. So we want to congratulate you this evening on making it into that book of 25. We understand that that is a very substantial list of leaders. So since we're talking about leadership tonight, would you like to say more about that book for our listening audience?
Well, George Barna is the one who called and asked to if I would be willing to participate in an interview, and I certainly said yes because I admire much of his work, and I had no idea the company that I was going to be in with some of the leaders and the names that he mentioned. So it was just a great delight, and it's very humbling to be singled out as it's actually one of the top 30 in the nation.
Top 30, okay.
Top 30. But as I reminded my family, it means that our role model for leadership washed feet for a living, so that, you know, you can glory in that maybe for 1 minute, and then you've got to go out and start serving again. So it was a real blessing.
Well, we congratulate you this evening on that. And we also have with us in the studio representing the business pillar, Vicki Arteaga. Welcome, Vicki.
Thank you.
And Elisa Holston representing the education pillar. Welcome, Elisa.
Good evening.
Great to have everyone this week as we continue to look at leadership from Studio G, using Jesus CEO as our backdrop here. This week we will look at the concept of the Omega leader is bold. And as we jump into that, Lori Beth, can you frame for us again the definition of an Omega leader? Tell us what that is.
The Omega leader is the leader who transcends and comprehends the different styles, the alpha style of authoritative leadership as well as the cooperative style of beta leadership. The Omega leader is always connected to his or her higher power in whatever they do and are willing and able to use either or any of those styles of leadership at any time. They're not locked into one or another just because of a title.
Mm. Very cool. Love it. Love the Omega leadership style, Omega leadership definition. And, well, we've been a couple of months talking about these topics around the strength of action, the strength of self-mastery. Moving into the next few weeks, we'll move into the strength of relationships and looking at the Omega leader from that perspective. But this week, let's jump in, Lori, and just kind of guide us into this whole concept of what it means to be bold as a leader.
Well, in reflecting on this and in our pre-show discussions, and since we're really talking about women in the Omega leadership style, one of the things that struck me was that there was not one instance where Jesus did not reward a woman who was bold. We started talking about the woman at the well, the woman who grabbed the hem of his garment, the woman who crashed the party and poured ointment on his feet. Every woman who spoke or who dared to reach out and grab his garment, he rewarded. And we were talking about the only time he did not reward a woman was his mother, who sent friends or family members to try to pull him off of this mission. And we were saying, you know, my thought was that she was trying to pull him back to the status quo. And Alyssa said, and also she sent someone else to deliver the message. So I think there's a two-prong. You could do a whole sermon series on that, you know, when we're trying to vicariously get other people to do our work. Mm-hmm. And also, I think being bold has to do with being willing to challenge the status quo. Jesus said, ask, 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 ask. And the woman who, you know, Mary and Martha, which is a typical thing. One wanted to serve in the kitchen, and, well, she felt resentful about it, but she was doing it, and the other one wanted to sit at his feet and listen. Mm-hmm. And he said she had chosen the better part. So regardless of religious institutions and how that has come down in many ways, anti-female power, when you look at Christ, you never see that in him. You see, if anything, him rewarding women to speak up and speak out. And in Song of Solomon, we're told, let me hear your voice. Let me hear your voice. So I think as women, when we've been told for thousands of years that we must be silent in church, which I think is a false notion, and that's a whole other story about that, I don't think that's Christ talking. And that's who our boss is. That's who our lover is. That's who we are connected to. That's who we listen to. And that's how we get the courage to be bold. And as I was rereading the chapter about being bold, there was a sentence in there that struck me anew, and it was that authority must be assumed within before it can be recognized eternally or mm-hmm. externally.
Wow.
So if you are waiting for the title, if you are waiting for permission to speak, if you are waiting until someone, the spotlight shines on you, and then you're going to have something to say, you have to have the authority within you to know that you are a child of God, a daughter of God, and represent, I mean, he said, you're my brothers and sisters, so we are literally the sisters of Christ put here to speak with authority in situations where we see something needs to change. And that's what being bold, I believe, is all about.
Yeah. Excellent.
Wow. That's a lot to chew on.
It is a lot to chew on, and I was wondering, especially with your most recent recognition, being recognized as an outstanding leader that you are, I imagine there have been many situations in your life. You're kind of a leader of the pack. You're someone who has led the charge in transforming the way people think and perceive as leaders, and especially as women in leadership, just by your life. And so a trailblazer is the word I was looking for. So I imagine there have been many times in your life when you've acted in boldness. What stands out to you as maybe the boldest thing that you've had to do as a female Omega leader?
Good question. Well, you know, going back in my life story, I think one of the things was standing up to my father, who wanted he had a certain mold poured for me in his mind, and standing up to him and saying, I don't want to go that road. I want to do something else. And enduring his silence for 2 weeks, he didn't speak to me for 2 weeks. And I was probably 15 at the time. There was a fork in the road. I could either go become, you know, a tennis star, which is what he wanted because that was his unlived life,
mm-hmm.
or I could go into journalism. And I remember him saying, you'll never make a living as a writer, but you have a chance at tennis because I'm very tall. And he never did live to see that success. But that was bold for a 15-year-old girl to stand up to her father
mm-hmm.
and the father figure in the patriarchal system and saying, I'm sorry, I'm going to go a different route. So that was probably the earliest bold thing I remember doing.
Even more so because I know that you deeply admired him.
Yes.
So sometimes
yes.
being bold is having a courageous conversation with somebody that you might deeply care for
exactly.
as well.
Yes, he wanted my best. I mean, he wanted
mm-hmm.
the best for me. But
yeah.
His intentions were.
Yes, his intentions were good.
For your benefit, so boldness can not always questioning the status quo, or not always, I guess boldness isn't always about conquering the enemy. Sometimes it's questioning the status quo that's right in front of our face that might appear to be something beneficial, but not necessarily what is truly beneficial.
Right.
That's what I hear you saying.
And when you look at Jesus being bold to leave his mother and the family business and go out and, you know, become an itinerant preacher, even though that wasn't the term they used,
mm-hmm.
that was very bold because he was going against convention.
Mm-hmm.
He was not married. He had all these things. He was laughed at in the village for not really, you know, who was his dad, all these things. He was very bold in saying, I'm not going to do this anymore. I'm going to go this way. So being bold does mean many times standing up to the people that you love when you feel in your heart that you...
Right.
You are being called a different way.
Okay, so I can imagine a few hundred listeners next week as this show airs tonight over the next few weeks, people listening to this show on demand facing their teenagers who might be rebelling against advice of experienced parents. And, you know, how do we sometimes walk that line, Lori, where we feel as experienced parents or guardians or protectors of children or even educators, as in Elisa's case, you know, I think I know what's best for you right now. How is boldness different than, say, rebellion?
Rebellion.
Yeah.
Well, I think from the parental point of view, the challenge, and this is kind of a crusade that I'm on, is that parents are trying to get their children to live their unlived lives.
Sure.
And they are not taking the time to listen. My father never read one poem I ever wrote. He had no idea about my writing gifts. But he wanted the sports, and so, you know, I was the second born. So if he had known and seen my giftedness and spent time with me, then he could have encouraged me in that rather than trying to really force something on me. So, you know, we see this in television, we see it in drama all the time where, you know, last night in the middle, I love that show, and the little kid, he couldn't play basketball, but finally he ended up helping his father put the lawnmower together because he was really gifted in reading. So I think a parent's job is to kind of feel along and say, where is the child's heart naturally bent? Where are they naturally gifted? Now, as far as keeping them out of danger, that's another story.
Right.
You know, driving too soon or hanging out with the wrong crowd or taking drugs,
right.
Then that's a different story. But when it comes to vocare, calling, Jesus knew at the age of 12 what he wanted to do.
Right. Right. And that's kind of what's spinning, you know, over here on the left side of my brain right now is the whole concept around mission, volition,
mm-hmm.
you know, bold, rebel. You know, all these different balancing pieces, you know, that we all do, but I think sometimes we miss our calling, you know, maybe because we are falling into a desired pattern of what somebody else thinks, which then does cause us to rebel against the systems eventually, you know, that we're placed in. So, very interesting.
What is the difference between being bold doesn't have to be impulsive.
Right.
So.
And the way that you phrased the question earlier, I liked in the pre-show.
What is the difference?
Say it that way if you would.
Yeah, what is the difference between being bold and being impulsive?
Well, to me, speaking as an expert on the impulsive aspect, being impulsive.
Are you impulsive?
As a wind fire, you better believe. Being impulsive means to me instant gratification, and many times it's an escape from pain or discomfort.
Mm-hmm.
I'll go shopping because I'll feel better, or I'll eat this because it'll make me feel better, or impulsiveness has to do with an escape from discomfort.
Reactive.
Reactive. Being bold means that you're willing to move into discomfort. You are willing to move into an uncomfortable conversation. You are willing to face the risk of loss of a friendship or a job or a, you know, a standing, a certain standing because of a stand that you're taking. So
that is huge.
Yes.
Wow.
Insightful.
This whole show could just sit right here for a second, right, and talk about that. What you just said is so powerful.
Because
walking in boldness is walking into discomfort, and where do we want to be? We all want to be comfortable, right? We all want to be in a place of comfort, and so we kind of stay in a wrong place.
Right. I love that saying. I saw it in a consignment store. There was a little plaque, and it said, "Everything you ever wanted lies three steps beyond your comfort zone."
Mm.
Mm.
So, and I was counseling with a man this week who... He wrote down his vision, everything he wanted, and then he overlaid it on the life he was living, and it was so different. And I looked at him and I said, you have every resource that you would need to do this life you have. It wasn't about money, it was about shifting paradigms in his thinking. And I said, but you cannot do it with the same energy that you're that you've been devoting to your life. You're going to have to kick it up three
mm-hmm.
cylinders
mm-hmm.
and get out of the earth and move into the wind
mm-hmm.
in order to get to the next phase that you want. So being bold means reaching for that next gear.
Mm-hmm.
You know, our friend Edgar, my friend Catherine's husband, is a great bike rider, and he was talking about watching a guy climb a hill, and he had a different bike, and he was just reaching, and he reached for the last gear, and he realized he did not have one gear left.
Oh, no.
I mean, he was using every gear he had to get up that hill. And so many
of us... That's not fun.
No, that is that is not fun. And so many of us just coast along. We want it, we want in anything as long as we can coast.
Mm-hmm.
And I just don't think that's the true Christian calling, and especially for women, because the world will not change until women get bolder.
That's what I'm sitting here kind of thinking is, you know, our topics of discussion are really, each of these shows, as we bring them every week, we are in retrospect looking at these topics as a way to bring together a curriculum, a leadership curriculum, if you will, based on some of Lori's greatest works over the last 10 years. And as I sit here each week, and tonight is no different, and I think of myself as a woman in leadership or, you know, inside a nonprofit or service agency or in corporate America, you know, how are we as women to lead as an Omega leader with boldness and maybe walk in humility at the same time?
Mm-hmm.
How do we walk that walk together? So, you know, I think, Elisa, you alluded to this maybe in the pre-show as well, is, you know, how are we not perceived as just this aggressive mob, you know, chasing after some kind of retribution or, you know, living out what somebody told us that we should do or should not do. You know, how does that all kind of fit together, Lori?
Well, there's you've said quite a lot, Shelley, in the way your mind works. My mother says about Shelley that she's the only person she knows whose left brain is directly connected to her right brain, and she can access either of them at any time. So she's just a phenomenon of thought. I want to answer that, but before I do, there's two points that will lead to your question. I was reading a response to Marcus Bingham's new book on women being unhappy, why women are unhappy, and this woman wrote in the letters to the editor, and she said, We're not happy because we still haven't made the progress that we wanted to make. And she said she moved up in the ranks to be an editor and a manager of a very large publication. And she said the entire time that she was in management, not one woman ever asked for a raise. She never had one woman come into her office and ask for a raise, even though there was a steady stream of men that did that. So it's a cultural thing that we are taught to sit back, to not make a fuss, to always keep the peace. And so moving into your question, you said tellingly, how can we be bold and not be perceived as someone who's out for retribution? When you are living with Christ within you, and Christ is your only boss, the only one you're going to answer to, why do you care how you're perceived? Why do we care how we perceived? You know, and I say in somewhere in Jesus CEO, when you look at the leaders that he picked and the things that in Scripture, that all the things they were called to do, that Jesus has no interest in being with someone who cares what the neighbors think. You're not going to make any progress. Who cares what the neighbors think? So the other thought that came up as you were talking, Shelley, was my friend Margaret Couch in Lubbock, and she's a great horsewoman and a great friend. We have a lot in common with horses, and I was in her tack room one day, and I saw a sign, and it showed this woman just riding a horse, and she was just blasting that horse out of the gate, and it said, "Ride it like you stole it." And I just love that. I mean, ride it like you stole it, that courage of nothing left to lose. And if indeed we are dead in Christ and have come dead to our other lives and have come alive in Christ, like I believe it was Paul who said that we are a new creation, we have nothing to lose.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing to lose, what the neighbors think. So we can really write it like we stole it. And then how do we walk in humility and boldness, are each one foot on the same body, one step with boldness, one step with humility. And frankly, I think women have had enough humility. We know how to be humble.
Mm.
What we need to kick up is how to be bold.
Yeah. And even
good point.
Even Jesus, the Bible mentions a couple of chapters where it says that you better be bold. It's a paraphrase. Than being lukewarm.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Like lukewarm,
you're going to get spit out. Yeah.
Yeah. So, the courage to change the status quo, that's what you said. How do we know when is a good time to be bold?
Mm-hmm. When is a good time to be bold? Mm-hmm. Well, I think there is timing. I think you have to choose your battles. I think Esther was not bold. She was submissive the whole way along until it came time to where there was a critical point. She did not flinch at the critical moment. I love that scripture. She did not flinch at the critical moment. When is the critical moment? When someone's life is on the line, when someone's dignity is on the line, when a life is going down a wrong path, they're about to go off a cliff. I think... And when the Spirit calls us, that's the utterances that cannot be given words, and yet we are called to give them words, the Holy Spirit groaning. So I think that we have to be sensitive to the timing and the touch of God's life, of God's hand upon us, and also be willing to, when they tell us to move to the back of the bus, to say, no.
Excellent discussion this evening, and we've got a caller on the line, Lori, and I'm going to open the line 707 area code and see if they have any questions for you this evening, if they want to tell us where they're calling from and if they want to address this topic of boldness as a leader. So we'll give them a second to cue on. Welcome to the Omega Leader series. Tell us where you're calling from. Do you have a question for Lori Beth this evening? All right, no questions.
It's okay, I have plenty of questions. So
okay.
As you were talking, you answered many questions that were kind of floating through my mind. One of the questions I had was, can the Omega Leader be too bold? And I'm hearing that it's a matter of timing and mission.
Right, right.
Timing and mission and that balance with humility. And I always kind of tied it back to the idea of the elements. As a fire, I think that we were laughing a little bit before as we were talking in the pre-show, that some of us are just very bold by nature, by element, by personality.
Mm-hmm.
And that in a sense, boldness can be relative to one's personality. And what is the relationship between boldness and are there any cautions? So speaking to me as a fire, and as I lead my team at school, speaking in a leadership, I'm a leader leading a team on a mission with a desired outcome.
Right.
And so I imagine that there are some cautions that there might be for me as a fire in terms of balancing my boldness. And I wonder then maybe going to the other end, as your advice might be different to a water in terms of turning up her
right.
boldness.
Right.
So speak to that a little bit.
Right. Well, we have all of the elements within us, and it is true, and it's a very good point, that the fires are more naturally bold than anybody, and the winds would be a close second to that because they like to stir things up and just for the sake of the drama half the time. So the fires don't necessarily need to be more bold, but one of the things about fires is that fires can be very aggressive about things that are not important.
Mm-hmm.
But when it's turned, when the mirror is turned on matters of the heart,
mm-hmm.
then they can be the biggest cowards.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
And sometimes their aggressive behavior, the bullies, I'm talking in the negative on the fires, but...
Who are you calling a bully?
Yeah, who are you calling? You want to
come
fight?
On, you want to take outside?
So sometimes the fires are really the biggest wimps when it comes to matters of the heart, mm-hmm. and things that really... There's nothing like inner courage, and that's what Jesus was really about. It's one thing to go take a city. A coward can take a city given a big enough bomb.
Okay.
And we've seen that.
Mm.
It's turning of the heart to admit I was wrong, to turn back and say, I repent, I'm sorry. That's the courage that Jesus is looking for. And that's elemental, and that can come from any element.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, to the waters, I would say, gather your forces and, you know, spine up, you know.
So it's that humility, and also it's not boldness, isn't aggressiveness.
Right.
Yeah, boldness is investment. And what about in terms of speaking as a leader, leading my team in terms of boldness, differentiating my interaction with the different elements that might be on the team of people that I lead? Are there different ways that I should manifest my boldness in order to bring my team along that path with me towards our desired outcome?
That was a mouthful. Can you say it again,
Yeah. Should I adjust or differentiate how my boldness in terms of thinking about the elements of the people that I lead? So I want to bring that water along with me for that desired outcome. Is my boldness going to manifest itself differently? Should I think about how I temper or present myself
as
a bold leader? With a water as opposed to a fire, as opposed to an earth?
Oh, yes, absolutely. It means understanding their core value. And we have a webinar. We just did a webinar with two of our PATH trainers who have one on sales, elemental sales, and that's persuasion and communication. And they talk totally.
Mm-hmm.
People can log on and hear that, right, Shelley?
Yes.
But, yes, you need to be aware elementally of how you deal with people.
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus was very... he was confronted with some of his disciples and with some of them, like Thomas, who said, I'm not going to believe until I plunge my hand. I believe Thomas was on earth. He never rebuked Thomas.
Mm.
He loved him.
Mm-hmm.
But he did often rebuke Peter, the wind. You know, it's like, okay, tone it down. Bring it back. All right.
Yeah.
So I think boldness means the courage to embrace the value system of who you're dealing with in keeping the desired result in mind. And that's the difference between aggression and boldness. Boldness has a desired result in mind. Aggression means it's going to feel better if I punch this guy in the nose.
Excellent topics. Excellent discussion and dialogue back and forth. Lori, if you could just in the next minute kind of just wrap this up for us tonight, summarizing what... our listeners might do in order to be 10 times bolder this coming week.
Right. Well, I think just carrying that question in your heart, what would I do if I were 10 times bolder? And when I've done this in seminars across the country with literally thousands of people, the things they say that they would do if they were 10 times bolder are really small steps, but make a huge shift in the direction of the shift. And I was working with the church, and they had a big banner that said, go big or go home. You know, that was the church theme. And, of course, it was led by winds and fires. It was led by winds and fires. And Jesus really isn't about, when we say go bold, he didn't say go big or go home. He said it's the little things. It's the courage for the little thing that you do to make that call that you're afraid to make. To just step one step out of your comfort zone. That's the biggest, boldest thing that God is calling us to do today. Enough of the big, dramatic gestures that get a lot of attention and can really hide a very afraid heart. You know, stepping up to face Christ, who do you think I am? To even engage in a conversation. That may be the boldest thing that you can do today, is let Jesus in to the room, into your heart, into your mind, and say, okay, let's be friends. Let's walk together. That could be the biggest step you would ever take in your life, and that's the kind of courage that I want to encourage the listeners tonight. So be bold. You don't have to go big or go home. Go little. Take three steps this week outside your comfort zone. Blessings to you all, and have a great week, and we'll see you next week. Thank you. Bye-bye.